Hi everyone, Sean Gilliam here. Welcome to my market update for April. We're going to be taking a look at the most recent data from that of March, and that should be significant or sufficient enough information to give us an idea of what the spring market is going to look like. But we'll also take a look at mortgage interest rates, especially in relation to the most recent numbers that came out today for the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, as you might be familiar with it, and how that impacts mortgage interest rates. I'm also going to take or make a brief mention of the NAR settlement, and that is all the news headlines that you've seen regarding lawsuits regarding commission and price fixing and Sherman antitrust suits and all that kind of stuff. So, but let's go ahead and get started with, I'll decrease my window size here, to the mortgage interest rates. Now, that CPI metric went up to 3.5% today, as I mentioned. And again, that's an indication that prices in some areas have gone up. Primarily this month, it was fuel costs. You might have seen that with gas prices, but also with housing costs. Now, bear in mind the housing cost part of this metric only includes the cost to rent a property. It does not include the cost to purchase a home. So that data does not reflect the cost of the price of purchasing a home, which if it did, that CPI would be significantly higher. So as it stands, it's at 3.5%. Again, it went up because of rental rates and fuel costs. And this will manifest or impact us in several ways. One, it will cause the Federal Reserve possibly to forestall decreasing the Federal Reserve rate. And if that happens, that could also forestall mortgage interest rates going down lower. As you can see here, based on the CPI data, the 30-year fixed rate conventional loan, the average mortgage interest rate for it went up 0.28%, so over a quarter of a percent, up to 7.34. So we were hovering right around 7%, now we're at 7.34%. And as you can look over here, the daily rate survey, the 30-year jumbo is at 7.5%, the 30-year FHA jumped up to 6.68%, and the 30-year VA loan jumped up to 6.7%. So not good news as far as purchasing power for buyers and also for sellers who are trying to attract as many buyers as possible. This makes it or decreases the buying pool, because right now that's the main thing that our market hinges on is buyer demand. And buyer demand is suppressed right now just because of those higher interest rates. And with them going a little bit higher, that certainly could have an impact on our spring market overall. So we'll see what happens. But let's go ahead and then look into what's going on with the NAR settlement. That was the lawsuits that have been going on because of price fixing related to this, the cost of commission. And what's been going on is that when an agent is working with the seller, they charge them a certain percentage, let's just say 6%, because that's a number everybody knows and throws out there. And they say, well, this is what I charge for my services. That's the way it is. And part of this money will go to the buyer's agent. And that's kind of the way it's been in a lot of markets across the country. Colorado has been a little bit different only because we have some negotiation or some discussion about it. And so when I talk with my clients that are selling their home, I'll say, hey, you know, here's what I charge for my services by a percentage. How much do you want to pay the buyer's agent? You could pay him zero. You could pay him, you know, fill in the blanks. And then I'll kind of weigh out the pros and cons as far as the amount that they want to offer. And so that's a discussion that we have, and that's what we have built into our exclusive right to sell contracts. Same thing on the other side with our exclusive right to buy contracts, where we have a discussion between me and the buyer and say, look, typically I'll get paid from the seller, and that's listed in the multiple listing service. And so the buyer will then say, well, that's good. I said, the only time you'll have to pay me is if we find a for sale by owner, or let's say there's a seller that just refuses to pay any commission, whether it be a for sale by owner or an MLS listed property. So if that's the case, then we have to have a discussion about how I'm gonna be compensated for my services. And so that's, again, is already built into our exclusive right to sell and our exclusive right to buy contracts. Now, other states don't have that. And so that's where some of the issue lied, is that they didn't have those discussions with their clients. And so some people thought, well, that's price fixing. And so all these lawsuits came out. There was also concern that certain brokerages were only showing homes that paid a higher amount of commission to buyer's agents. Now, I don't know how they gathered data on this or if it was true. There's always rumors out there that some agents won't take their clients to see properties that pay us a lower commission to the buyer's agent. When I'm working with my clients, I'll show them whatever they want to look at and make sure that they get into the house that they want to get, regardless of the cost or the commission being offered. We'll figure something out. So that was some of the concern that people had, and it resulted in lawsuits, and then several major brokerages settled. Not necessarily because they were guilty, but just because it's easier to just pay them a lump sum of money, have some agreements not to make this more difficult for us down the road, and move forward. And sadly, you'll see in the judicial system, whether it's for civil or criminal matters, there's pleading down, there's settlements and all these kinds of things. And sometimes it just makes some parties look guilty, but in this case, it probably isn't. They were just settling to kind of put the kibosh on this thing and move forward. And similarly, when NAR, the National Association of Realtors, settled, it's probably the same kind of thing. I don't have all the information or what the legitimacy of the lawsuits were and what evidence they had, but by and large, that's kind of what happens when a settlement occurs. So how is that going to manifest itself for us here in Colorado doing real estate transactions? My theory is that it probably won't change too much. It probably, like I said, it's already built into our contracts as far as who pays commission. The only thing that could change if some sellers think, well, let's just not pay the buyer's agent anything and see what happens. And that could potentially present an issue on the buyer's side because the buyer might not have the money or may not want to pay the buyer, their agent, to represent them in the purchase of a home. And so if that happens, that could create a rub where there's some negotiations about how much a buyer's agent will get paid, or, you know, maybe who knows what'll happen. That's just all hypothetical right now. By and large, though, I think most sellers will probably say, yeah, let's pay a buyer's agent some money so that we can have a good transaction, no major issues. They bring a highly qualified buyer, and let's get this thing done and get my house sold. That's what likely will continue to happen, as it has been for years. But that's a potential risk that we could run into once this thing gets settled. Now, there hasn't been a final say from a judge, so a lot of this stuff is kind of a moving target. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. There might be some changes built into our contracts to augment what we already have. So there might be some changes that way. Time will tell. We'll see what comes down the pike, what the judge determines based on these settlements, and what the ruling will be and how that will impact us directly. So more on that as I get more information. So look for those highlights on my YouTube channel, and I'll keep you in touch. Now let's get back to the data. I want to take a look now at what's been going on in our local market here in Northern Colorado. I'm going to move this around. We'll start with Boulder County as usual. And again, March is our most latest data. And this chart shows the comparison between this year and last year. And if you look at the new listings for Boulder County, it's only 3.2% higher, so not a huge change. Pending sales, however, is up significantly, and that's up 25.7%. So there's more activity this year for the month of March than there was last year at this time. The number of closed sales is up almost 11% at 246 when it was 222 last March. The days on market until sale is at 61, and that's up 13% from last year at this time. So homes are on the market a little bit longer, but not significantly. Median sales price is at $805,000, and that's down 10.3% from last year when it was at $897,000. And then the average sales price in Boulder County is down 15% from last year. It's currently at $975,814. Last year at this time, it was at $1,148,453 for a home on average. The percent of list price received in Boulder County is down 0.8%, not a huge change. It's at 98.8%. Last year at this time, homes were selling at 99.6%. And the inventory of homes for sale is at 466, and that's up 7.4% from last year at this time, when it was at 434. Month supply of inventory has hardly moved since last year. It's up 5.6%, so it's at 1.9 versus 1.8 in March of 2023. Now, in the month-to-month data, I'll say that we didn't see a significant change month over month in most metrics for Boulder County. So when we're comparing February of this year to March of this year, the days on market until sale stayed the same as 61. So there was no changing there. And then homes are selling at 98.8% of their original list price, and that's up from 98.6%. So not much change overall month over month. The only significant change was the average sale price of a home went down from $1,085,000 to our current average of $975,814. So overall, not a huge change month over month for Boulder. Things have remained relatively static. But let's go ahead and take a look now at Larimer County. We'll see some more significant changes. New listings are down 5.8% from last year. So 483 new listings in March compared to 513 to March of 2023. Pending sales is down 0.7%. So 427 pending sales in Larimer County versus 430 pending sales last year at this time. The closed sales has also gone down 14.5%. So 330 closed sales in Larimer County versus 386 last year at this time. And then our days on market until sale is at 70, and that's up 6.1% compared to last year when it was at 66. The median sales price in Larimer County is up 6.8%. And that's at $614,000, and that's compared to March of 2023 when it was at $575,000. And then our average sales price has gone up 8.8%. Currently, it's at $714,635 compared to $657,099 in March of 2023. The percent of list price received has stayed the same year over year. It's at 99.5%. And the inventory of homes for sale is up 18.4%. So we have a total of 623 homes on the market for the month of March of this year, compared to 526 homes in the month of March for 2023. Our month supply of inventory has gone up 38.5% year over year. So right now it's at 1.8 month supply of inventory, compared to 1.3 in March of 2023. Now, looking at a few highlights from the month-to-month data, when we compare February to March of this year for Larimer County, we have seen an increase in sales activity. Pending sales are at 427, and that's up from 336 the prior month. So the Larimer County market, while the year-over-year data doesn't show it significantly, the month-over-month data shows that it's starting to wake up. It's getting into that spring market stage. The days on market until sale is mostly unchanged, coming down to 70 from 75, but it's definitely moving in a lower direction. So that's good. Homes are selling slightly faster. And then homes are selling at 99.5% of their original list price. That's up from 98.6%. So homes are selling closer to their original list price in Larimer County for March compared to February. So that's moving in the right direction as well, and is also an indication that the market is picking up for Larimer County. What will be interesting to see is how the trend continues when we get into April's data. So that next market update, I will do a look at that, and we'll see how much activity we see on the market and relate that to what the mortgage interest rates are doing. If they're still staying in the sevens, that could put a tamper on things. So we'll see. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at Weld County. New listings is down 17.8% from last year. So we have 500 new listings for March of 2024 compared to 608 for March of 2023. Pending sales are up 10.3%. So we have 525 pending sales in March compared to 476 for March of 2023. And closed sales is down 10%. So 424 closed sales in March compared to 471 for March of 2023. Days on market until sale is down 13.7% year over year. 63 days on the market before a home goes under contract compared to 73 as what it was for March of 2023. Median sales price year over year hasn't changed significantly. It's up 2% It's at $499,775 compared to $490,000 last year at this time. Average sales price is up 4.5%. It's at $551,147, and that is up from last year at this time when it was at $527,347. Percent of list price received is up 0.4% from last year. That's at 99.8%. So in Weld County, homes are selling close to list price. I think part of the reason for that is the lion's share of homes for sale in Weld County are in a sweet spot, a price range that most people can afford. So it's in about the 400s, maybe in the 300s for townhomes and condos. And that's more attainable for a lot of people. So you'll see more activity in that regard for Weld County. And then the inventory of homes for sale is at 761. That's up 11.1% from last year at this time when it was at 685. And then the month supply of inventory is up 26.7%. It's at 1.9 month supply of inventory compared to 1.5 month supply of inventory for March of 2023. Now looking at the month over month data, I'm going to highlight a few things. The spring market is more visible in Weld County right now, likely to due to that lower price point of the communities within their market, as I mentioned. I've seen personally multiple offers on listings in the 400s in Weld County, and that's great to see some activity, but it's also difficult for first-time home buyers or people that are pre-approved or kind of stuck in that range, so to speak, with little money to play with. It makes it difficult for them to get an offer accepted. The days on market until going under contract went from 80 days to 63. So that's an indication of how much faster the market is moving in Weld County year over year, but especially month over month. And then especially in comparison to Larimer and Weld counties or Boulder counties. Pending sales are up from 421 to 525. Again, we're seeing more activity in Weld County month over month. And then homes are selling at 99.8% of their original list price. And this is up from 99.2% as it was in February of this year. So that is the data for Boulder, Larimer, and Weld counties year over year, month over month. Hopefully this gives you an idea of what's going on in the market and might give you some ideas of should you buy a home or sell a home right now? That can be a difficult question or a more complex question, I should say. It just depends on what your situation is, what your needs are, what your goals are. And that's a discussion we can have. So don't hesitate to get in touch if you have any questions and you want to further discuss this. I offer a free consultation so that you can decide when is your next best move. You can reach me here at 970-313-6706, or you can see my contact information at the end of this video. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Take care.